Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. You know, there is a parable which Jesus gave in Luke 18, which I want us to read. Today is Holy Communion, so we are going to hurry up and have Holy Communion. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Praise the Lord. Now, there is a reason why the Lord said, and now remember in Luke 17, starting from Luke 17, he's talking a lot about the end times, about the times in which we are living. And there is a reason why he said, when the Son of Man comes, meaning in the time of the end, will he really find faith on the earth? And he said it as a conclusion to that parable. Now, why does he say that? Why does he ask that rhetorical question? That when the Son of Man comes, shall he really find faith on earth? Because, of course, he knows that as we get towards the end of the age, there are certain things which I notice and we notice among people. And one of them, one of the big ones, is people are always in a hurry to get something, to do something. They always feel they should have started last year. I wish I had started last year. So even when they encounter the solution, they think maybe they are too late. I should have done this last year. Now I'm in an emergency. I need something urgently. And then that's the thing. And of course, there is a reason why that is the case. Because if you grew up in the times, let's say in the 90s and before, everything took its time. When I wanted to look for a scripture in the Bible, I had to open the Bible and look for the scripture. And if I got it, I would cram it and make sure I know where it is. Now, my cramming ability kind of went down. Because now I know I can just use the Bible app. If I know what the scripture says, I'll just use the Bible app and it will tell me where it is. But you see, when I started, that was impossible. You had to read and find out where the scripture is. So we would actually even do training for scripture memorization. Now it's not necessary, just for the purpose of memorization. But see, now as we go further and further towards the time of the end, everything is faster. Everything comes faster, quicker. And we expect everything to happen in haste. So if you have to write an essay, you don't have to go and read the whole book and what. You just go to ChatGPT and, you know, the essay is written for you and so on. So there's a way, there's a kind of life that is now being made normal. And because we expect everything to happen so quickly, we kind of expect God to fall in line and say, God, you're too slow. Come here and, you know, get into this age that we are in, the dot-com age. But he does not He's not going to go, it's not going to be like that with him. That's why he says, when the Son of Man comes towards the end of the, shall he really find faith? Because there's no faith without, listen to what he says in this parable. He says, there's just unjust judge who does not fear God and does not fear man. Basically, he's not doing anything for anybody. He does not regard man, that's what he says. And he does not fear God. But the only reason he got justice for this lady is because he was tired of her. And he knew she was going to continue coming over and over again. So he said, let me just sort her once and for all. Now the question is, why would Jesus compare God to an unjust judge? He is not. What he's doing is, the reason people will go to the system, this sort of system, and go there and have faith in it and so on, and you know, expect justice from there, is because they have more faith in that system than they do in the Lord. So it's this woman went to the judge and went to the judge and went to the judge. But now he's saying, remember why it said the parable in the first place, that people ought to pray. Now he's saying, in the modern time, somebody will go to God, and he has, in his mind, he has given him a time frame. If you don't sort my problem in 2 days, I'm out of here. And I'll find another solution. And now, of course, anything that puts a time frame is not faith. You cannot put a time frame. Because have you ever seen the way people believe in certain things? Now, like this woman believing in the judge. She's there. She's going to keep on coming back and back and back until she gets justice. And now that's how so many people are when it comes to the systems of the world. You tell them to go and become an expert at something in the world, they will go and do it. They will go and spend years studying to, you know, somebody even already has a bachelor's, maybe even has a master's, but in his head he feels maybe he needs something else like a law degree. Then I found somebody the other day who has a lot of books. Now he has gone back there to study law. I said, there's a lot of lawyers who are unemployed. Why would I study law? Are you out of your mind? Just study how to make money. You can have 10 of them surrounding you. Like, why do I need to study law? That's rubbish. Okay? Unless, of course, it's my undergrad degree and so on. But if you have money, you can have 50 lawyers at your call and beckon. They are there, very broke, putting on ties and suits which are very old and look haggard. And walking the streets with shoes which are, you know. But you want to go and study. You don't need to study. Anyway, my point is this. But you see, because somebody has put a premium on something, they are going to go and spend 4 years studying it, doing coursework, doing what. And after they are through with the 4 years, they have to even go and, if they want to practice it at any stage, go and do the bar course. And then if they want to even have a practicing certificate, they have to go and work for another lawyer. What would have gotten into my head? If I use that time to meditate on scripture, I can have 100 lawyers anytime I want them. Praise the Lord. Because I will have money. Like, I will have money and they are there broke. Like, you see, but because people believe in the system of the world so much, and they have a lot of faith in it, if they actually went and decided to take a course in one of these things and said, now I'm going to become an expert in this, and they study, as I told you the other time, study to show yourself what? Approved. You see, there is nobody who is an expert at anything who is not in the process of studying. They are not there. I remember the first time when I read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. And first of all, I was saying, what is this doing in the scriptures? This is private whatever. 2 Timothy, not 1st. Chapter 4, verse 13. Bring the cloak that I left with Cleopas at Troas when you come. And the books, especially the parchments. What books was Apostle Paul reading? Now, if Apostle Paul is reading books, you think he was reading books about law? No. Not at least the one, this law of yours. But you see, my point is that there are people who want to become an expert, and you will never find them even reading a book. Not even one. Yet the great Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of this New Testament, even says, when you're coming, bring those books. And I know that a lot of great men, they would even travel with the trunk of their cars when they are going to preach, full of books. Because there are certain things which you can only become an expert in after you've studied it over and over and over again. Praise the Lord. Now, if you think that you studied it the first time and that's the end of the story, you're lying yourself. Or at least listen to it, because now people are very lazy. They don't want to read. Or at least listen to it over and over and over again. You're deceiving yourself. You have to choose at what you're going to be an expert at. And I'm telling you, having chosen the direction of your life, let's say you're a businessman and you want to see how to get, how to prosper in your business. Rather than going and studying, there is something that is sure here. The trouble is that you don't have enough faith in it to give it time. So you are in a bit of a hurry. But if they tell you go and do a BBA, MBA, you'll go and do it. Because you have faith in that. But you don't have faith in this. And yet, the only guaranteed thing is the word of God. The only thing that is a guarantee is the word of God. If you can give it time. But of course now in our day, so many people are in a hurry to do things. I remember one time, some guy came to me and was asking me some questions of the things that I learned about finance and what from the Lord and so on. So he came to me. Then he asked me, listen to what he asked, where do you get all this money? Now he's asking like an unbeliever, and this is a man of God. There is nowhere I get the money. You see, like you ask as if there is some place, as if there is some vault somewhere, some underground place where I go and what? And pick money. That is not, now I expect that from the worldly people. But now if a man of God asks me that, I start saying that there's something wrong with your head. So I said, maybe let me give him benefit of doubt. So I start showing him certain scriptures. Then immediately I open the Bible, I see he has lost interest, even the light drained out of his face, and he was totally disinterested. And do you know why? In his mind, he thinks that that is a very long process. He's not willing to go down that process. But tell you what, that is 10 years ago, and he's still broke, I can guarantee you now. If he had started that time, he would not be. It wouldn't even have taken 10 years. But you see, there is something about people where people are always in a hurry. And let me tell you, whatever time, even if you started today, you will wish you had started 5 years ago. So the best time to start is now. There will never be a better time to start actually consuming the word in light of this is what I want and this is what I am actually going to study and become an expert. There are books there, messages and what, which I guarantee you if you read them for 1 year. Now, when I say 1 year, suddenly everybody says, that's too long. 1 year is going to pass and you'll still be broke. You see that? Let me tell you, that is the temptation of the modern era. That's why Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? The temptation of the modern era is everything has to come quickly or we are not interested. It is limited. You are not going to make God change his ways because you are in an emergency. He might, like he did with the children of Israel in the desert. But if you need a miracle to get food, then you are in the desert. But remember what the scripture says. And when you are in the desert, there is what the scripture calls reproach. But when they crossed over into Jordan and they circumcised and they healed, the scripture says the manna stopped falling from heaven. Now he expects people to plant and harvest and eat food from the ground. Now the time for manna. Now everybody should aspire to get to the point where I don't expect a miracle for food. Praise the Lord. Yeah, but then at the beginning, you might expect it. And I'm not saying just for food, for anything. I mean, like that sort of financial miracle. You have to grow into the place where you have mastered, you have matured to that point where none of these things come and they blow you away because your level of comprehension of these things. Now imagine Paul saying, bring those books, my books which I left there. Come with them. I want to read them. And that's Apostle Paul. Now I can ask you something. When was the last time you read a book? You, who is here? Or in anything. The word parchments means like there were some old kind of things, almost like scrolls, steel which they use to write on a material. Praise the Lord. Now you don't even have a place where you write, take notes, and do what? For purposes of revision. Let me tell you, if you want to become an expert in this thing, you have to actually give it time. And now, when you give it time and it is a part of you and you're in your, that place of faith, then you'll not be in a hurry to do anything. Because you know what you're doing. You know it is going to come. And when you start praying about, or when you start believing for something, you know it's going to come. And that place of faith is a place of exposure. When you're exposed to the word of God over and over again, faith becomes very easy. Very, very easy. Like there is nothing in you that doubts any of these things. Because it's a part of your life. I remember when I was just born again, in 1992, the first materials I came across were pamphlets of Kenneth Hagin. And people used to get books of his and would photocopy. I don't know if that's even legal. But that's the only way we're going to get that material. Praise the Lord. But we got it. So we'd photocopy. So I had a sister who had a job somewhere. So we'd go and get a book. And you tell somebody, lend me just for one day. Then he lends you, go and photocopy. And then you staple. And then you read. So I read a lot of material about faith. And you don't read because you're trying to get... But you see, because you're trying to get something, you just find yourself in a certain place. And because you've exposed yourself to that thing so much. So I would land on every book, so many books. Then I had a problem at that time. I used to fall sick a lot of malaria. And that malaria was even spiritual. A lot, because I used to get malaria almost once every month. If I spent 2 months without malaria, that would be a miracle. And I would take those chloroquines and they eat you for 3 nights. Like that was, but man, Big Pharma has made us suffer. That was hell, like hell, scratching yourself like this for 3 nights. And then yet after 1 or 2 months, you're going to get it again. So one day, after about 3 years of reading those books, one day I wake up in the morning and I have malaria. I knew all the signs. I could even tell it from a distance that it is there coming. The first signs start coming, you feel, you know, your body heating up, your joints, what? Then I said, now, I go down this road again of taking this chloroquine and, you know, but you see now something was boiling inside me. So I said, no, I'm going to get healed by faith. Now, it wasn't that difficult because that's all I was exposed to. That was, like, I would read those books of faith. I would eat them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Just out of... I know now, of course, that the Lord was helping me, giving me some foundation. But at the time, you just land on something and you enjoy it. So I started to enjoy it. I would read books of faith and books of end time. Just out of... If I would find it, I would beg the person, give me a go and photocopy. Anyway, so I said, no, I'm not going to take medicine again. So I just woke up in the morning and said, by his stripes, I was healed. And now by the time I said that, the symptoms were, it was a Sunday, I was going to pray, the symptoms were extremely high. I was feeling weak, the fever was high, and really I was really down with malaria. But I said, no, I'm not going to go down. So it was Sunday, I was supposed to go to church. Then I said, by his stripes I was healed. Now then the battle. You know when the scripture says fight the good fight of faith? Eh? You don't know what faith is. Eh? If you want to see that the devil can fight, you try to get something by faith. Because by the way, on that very same day, I woke up and I also had dysentery. I was passing blood in my stool. So it was just a terrible day. But it was one of the best days. Because I woke up, I said, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes. Then I said, no, I'm not going to. I have to go to church. I'm going to church. Then as soon as I'm stepping out of church, of the house like this, I hear a voice, like real hear a voice telling me that you're going to embarrass yourself. You know, you don't move when you have dysentery. So I really hear a voice telling me, you're going to embarrass yourself. And then I said, I think let me stay home. Then I hear another voice from inside me saying, but if you're healed, why are you staying home? So I said, okay, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes. Now, the church was walkable distance. Not too near, but walkable for somebody who was as young as I was at the time. So, by his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes. I was saying that as I walked. By his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes, I was healed. By his... I said it, until I forgot to say it, and now it started saying itself. I said it. Then when I got to church, by the way, when I was leaving the house, the other voice said, okay, since you're going, you carry some TP, some toilet paper, because you never know what's going to happen. So I thought that was a good idea. So I went to get toilet paper. Then I heard another voice from inside saying, do you always carry toilet paper? Then I said, I'm not going to carry toilet paper. So I went. But now, so I went. By his stripes, I mean, now I reached the church. And it was something. I used to sit in front like this. So now, instead of going to sit in front, I sat behind because the toilet was not far. I did have to run through the crowd in case something happened. So I went to sit behind. As I was going to sit behind, I heard the voice from inside me saying, is that where you always sit? Aren't you healed? So I said, okay, I'm healed. So I went in front. Now, you don't know how the devil bombards your mind with words. Saying now, anytime you're going to have to run down through the aisles to go to the... What if you spoil stuff on yourself when you're running? What he puts pictures in your head. My God, you have no idea. He puts pictures in your head, and now you cannot stop the pictures. All you have to do is speak. Now, speak. Praise the Lord. You do what? Faith is spoken. Spoken. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we believed, therefore we did what? 2 Corinthians. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we do what? Speak. So now when you're encountered with, and I've never stopped having to do that. When you're encountered with a tough situation where you are in doubt, just speak. Just speak. So now the devil is putting things in my mind of you don't know what you're going to do. You're going to embarrass yourself. You're going to what? And I'm just saying, by his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. Now, he's speaking from out me, I'm speaking. He's speaking, I'm speaking. So we continued with that until I even stopped speaking. We got into worship. Then I realized the service had ended and I had not needed to go to the toilet. And even the stomach had stopped turning. Because in all that time, the stomach was turning as if there was, as if somebody was twisting my stomach. And you know, when you know anytime anything can happen. But then it didn't. Then it stopped. I noticed the stomach had stopped. But the malaria was like up there. But I was saying by his stripes I was healed. So I finished. And then I went and told some doctor. Some lady who was a doctor. That was one of the worst mistakes I did. I told her that, I woke up this morning when I was sick, but I believe God for... She told me, hey, okay, it's good to believe God for healing, but in case it doesn't work, let me give you a prescription. I ran away like I was running away from the devil himself. Because that ends everything you're trying to believe for. So I left. I said, okay, let me come. I took off. Then I continued. Now, just those words she said created an alternative in my mind. And I was saying, but why am I struggling? Why don't I just take this prescription? But then I said, no, I've come this far. Even the dysentery has gone. And I know it has gone by miracle. So even the malaria will go. So I said, by his stripes, I was healed. Continued. And I don't know. I went home feeling very tired, no appetite, very sick. I lay on my bed and started saying, by his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes, I was healed. Just saying it. And I remember very well, it was 6 p.m. on that Sunday when I knew I was healed. I did not get, the symptoms were still there, all of them. But I knew it. Now it had struck inside me. I knew I was healed. Even if you brought 1,000 doctors, nobody would convince me that I'm sick. Now the word had finally come out of my mind and had sunk inside my spirit, inside my heart. Now I knew it. But I slept and I was sweating and I had all the symptoms, but I knew I was healed. Then I woke up in the morning and I went. I was going to town. So I took a taxi to town. I was staying in Kamocha at the time. I took a taxi to town and I was still sick. Then I was coming back from town, but coming back I didn't have transport. So I did Sauti ya Mugu. So I was walking back, so weak. So you know something, like every symptom there, I was walking. I remember the exact place up to now, by the way. That was 1995. I remember the exact place. I was walking like this, and now I didn't even have to say by his stripes I was healed. I knew it was done. It was a done deal. It's only my body which was still trying to, defiance. Anyway, I remember that place there used to be and be a restaurant called Kanakazana or what, something there. Now these days there are all sorts of pubs. You know, Kololo became a pub center or something like that. They call them lounge. What's lounge? Everywhere, lounge. Everybody is lounging. Anyway, so I reached there and I was still very weak and I'm walking about to reach home. And then suddenly something happened. The malaria went. It had already gone last night. But now even my body accepted. It went completely, totally. And I felt completely healthy. I was so healthy that I used even to go. There's a place I used to go and what? We used to go and play football. There's a gentleman here who knows, because I used to play football with him. He is there watching me. To know I got the healing was so thorough is that when I reached home, I even put on football clothes and went to play football. Now that was somebody who a short while ago was walking like this. By his stripes, I was what? Healed. Now that was okay. Now here is the thing. That was the last time I ever got malaria. Now, if I went and took the pills, I would still be taking them. There is something about when you choose to go down the path of faith. Like something is built in you which is thorough. And I've told you this before. Remember Abraham. Abraham, God called him when he was 70 years. God made his promise for him to have a child when he was 75 years. He had to wait up to 100 years for him to get the child by faith. But he got the child in a way that was not scientifically possible. He got it by faith. But he got the child through his wife, who was also past childbirth. Now, after getting the miracle child, after that, he did not need a miracle to have another child. I've told you that before. Amen? After that, after even Sarah died, when he was around 120, he married another woman and gave birth to 5 other children. Now, those ones, he did not need faith. At 125, he had sorted the faith thing already. Now, all he needed is a wife and the children would be there. So now, when you choose to do something in a certain way, like the God way, it elevates you to a place where you will never... Now, the things I'm telling you about here, you can go and prosper in any other way, so many other... But when you do it God's way, you will never become broke again. You've passed a certain level. There is a certain threshold you pass, and that is it. And God does not make you sit the same exam twice. Praise the Lord. When you sit the exam and pass it, and some of you even have those dreams, and I used to have them. When every time you're struggling for rent comes and you're struggling, and you actually even have, I used to have dreams where I enter an exam, and I am late, the exam is about to end, and you come, and you're just beginning, and they say, bring your papers. And you should know, there is no formulas in dreams, but if it is math, it's always about finance. If the exam is a math exam, it's always about what? finance. You come for a math exam and you're late, or you look at the paper and you're totally ill-prepared. You don't know any of the answers. Then you wake up. Then you know that. So I used to have those dreams over and over again. Until one day I chose to trust God and to believe God. And then through a miracle, I got rent through a miracle. But I've never sat that exam again. There's never been a time when I'm in danger, rent. Now I passed that exam completely. It ended. And God does not make you sit twice. You'll have a retake, but if you pass, you don't go back. He will give you so many retakes. And some of you are in the process of retakes when it comes to trusting God for finances. I know. You are in retake and retake and retake and retake. When you're about to believe God, then you say, but man, what if God doesn't work? Then you do what? You call somebody. Ronald, I have only 300K here. If you can give me another 150K, and then so and so gives me 150, retake. And then another retake. And I used to do that. You know, you call people what? Retake, retake, until finally you pass the exam. And then that's it. Now after that, you might have another exam at another level, at another more glorious level, but never that. Anyway, my point is, the reason, I'm going back to the original thing, the reason I was able to go and start believing that I can quote 1 Peter 2:24 and malaria goes, which had been such a trauma in my life, is because I'd been exposed, I'd read a lot of books about faith. I'd read a lot of books, and every time I would think of giving up, I remember people's stories. This person had this one did, and there are stories which stick with you, and you know, where you have people who gave their testimonies, and the testimonies are real and even more powerful than malaria. Actually, you have no idea how big defeating malaria was for me. I even wrote a letter to Kenneth Hagin Ministries, and they started sending me their monthly magazine, Word of Faith. And I continued reading about what? Faith. And being an expert, studying on the subject of faith. Like continuing reading. Praise the Lord. Now, if you actually really, really want to be an expert, the first thing is expose yourself to continue knowledge until that knowledge surrounds you and it is the knowledge that governs you. And it's just a matter of what you expose yourself to. You can expose yourself to any kind of knowledge. There was a time I used to read a lot of books about self-help. You know, think big, grow rich. What? Then I realized it's so rubbish. By the way, it is absolute rubbish. Because those people have the basis of their wealth in spirituality. And now what convinced me really, I remember when we read those books about Steve Jobs became rich by doing what? He became rich by going to the Himalayas and finding one, sacrificing so many things. And he ends up even sacrificing himself. The devil does not give you anything free of charge. Then you die at 56. But then people are still talking about, some of them even in the pulpit. It's not an example of ours. My point is, I used to read all those books over Steve Jobs, said what, over what, you know who they. Then I had Zuckerberg saying that he started Facebook and it had 500 million people. And he even was going up to 1 billion people on Facebook. But he did not know how to make money from it. And he wasn't making any money from it. Then he said he went to Steve Jobs. And Steve Jobs told him that he's going to send him to a certain guru in the Himalayas. You know those guys who have beards which touch the ground. And they'd be there all day meditating. So he went there. He said Steve Jobs sent him there. Then he went there. Then the guy told him to do what? What to do. And let me tell you, it all involves sacrifice. And by sacrifice, I don't mean sacrifice of bring a sheep. No. It involves heavy sacrifice. And then he said afterwards, he became a billionaire in a short time after seeing that guru. Then there are people who are convinced you can read his book and become rich. You're lying yourself. But you can read the Bible and become very rich. You understand? If you become an expert in it the way you are expert at some of those things, like you have to expose yourself to, there is a lot of knowledge in the scripture about Now, the person I was reading used to talk about healing a lot. I exposed myself to it until it became. And now let me tell you, there is no guarantee that you're going to stay there. It's very easy to slide. Because afterwards, I stopped reading all those books and started exposing myself to a different kind of knowledge, intellectual knowledge. Then one day they called me and told me I had high blood pressure. Then I also accepted and started taking pills. Me, who is supposed to be, you see, when you put yourself away from what? From that knowledge. You have to, that's why Paul is reading books, bring my books and parchment. You have to stay in that knowledge. And stay there and stick there. But you see, now the mind will tell you that you know that. You know it in your head, it's not yet in your spirit. It takes a long while for what you know in your head to go down to your heart, not your spirit, your heart. And it has to be continued exposure, continuous exposure to this knowledge, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the scriptures, continued knowledge until it becomes the foundation of everything. Every time you're thinking and what? I remember when I read that scripture in Isaiah 48, verse 17. Isaiah 48, verse 17, which says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. Yes. That says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. Now, if you are in business and you don't know this scripture, what are you doing? He says he teaches you to profit. Now, you can put him to task on this word. Why am I not making profit? Teach me how I'm going to make profit. Because your word says you are the Lord God who teaches me to what? To profit. Or to make profit. Praise the Lord. Now, this, you get this, you get so many other scriptures in the Bible which refer to business, whatever. And you expose yourself, and including books about scripture. Including, there are some ministers who are experts in certain areas like finance, whom you can listen to and over again and continue getting the same. You continue getting, most of them will use the same scriptures, but it's okay. You listen until eventually it becomes a part of you. And then you will find that naturally you're making profit without any effort because you are profit. He teaches you to profit. Who leads you by the way you should go? Praise the Lord. But now, the whole point is, do you have enough faith to be patient? When the Son of Man comes, shall he really find faith on earth? Are you going to become an expert or are you just going to do it? Now, for instance, we told you at the beginning of this year to meditate on what? Abundance. If I asked you how many are still doing it, you are not. I told you meditate on abundance. And that was the instruction. But you see, you get bored. You meditate on abundance a little, then you go and start watching what? TikTok videos. And you become an expert at TikTok. And actually, you know, you can become an expert at anything. Then I remember Ken Hagin saying that he went to a certain preacher, hosted by a certain preacher, and then the preacher was, you know, started telling him jokes. You know, there's this wonderful joke. You know, this man did this, then tells him a joke, then they laugh. And one tells him a joke, then they laugh. Tells him a joke, then they laugh. Then the preacher tells him, but you know, it amazes me how you know the Bible so well that you can almost read the whole chapter without looking in the book. And you start just quoting it out of your heart in the beginning of chapter to end. Then Kenneth again said, I don't think he told him, but also he was capable of doing that. But he told him that if you spent as much time reading the Bible as you spend reading jokes, you'd also be able to do that. You see, you choose what's important to you. If TikTok is important, you go there. If you've chosen that you actually want to be an expert at something that is going to build your life, really build your life, go there. And stick there, read, study it, listen to people who have gone down, you know. Praise the Lord. Now you can be a Christian businessman and you've not heard testimonies of people who have Christian businessmen and so on, and you know, things which are uplifting, people who have gone ahead of you. And they can say things which are going to, something which is going to help you, which if you expose yourself to all the time, you know. Or those guys, they would read books. Even Kenneth Hagin used to move in his car with a trunk of books of people who had gone before him. All the revivalists of the previous years, or who Smith, Wigglesworth, what, he would always have those books. So you're referring to them all the time. That's how you become an expert. Amen? Even if you go and study the law, you're not going to finish and say, I've finished. You're still going to be in books. Even medicine, you're still going to be in what? Books. Anything you study, whether you're a scientist, like Thomas or Johanna, whatever it is, you're going to be in books all the time, and that is the nature of whatever. But if you're an expert at this book has powerful things. You don't need to go to the guru. Now, I realized when I heard that Mark Zuckerberg, I said, I've been wasting my time hearing the stories of how these people got rich. They got rich by sacrificing. So then I said, I'm going to read the scripture. The answers are going to be here. And they are here. And by the way, they are here and they are very simple. And I've taught about them before. Very, very simple. Not complicated. Very simple things. And you start small and you go and say, now my business is dedicated to the Lord and he's going to teach me to profit. And you start there. And then you do certain things which move in a certain day. You know, you can say it's dedicated, but it's not really. Or you can say now it's dedicated to the Lord. And you say, I'm going to use it for the purpose of glorifying the Lord and what. And then you see how it will just expand. Praise the Lord. So, the key tenet of faith is patience. If you don't have patience, you are not in faith. You don't believe. You're just trying. You're trying out and you're giving it a time frame. Let's see how it works. And if it doesn't work in a short time, you have no time to waste. There is something, by the way, which you will give patience because you have more faith in it than in the word of God. And you see, people think faith is some positive thing. You think positively. No, faith is something tangible. God said this. God is faithful. I am going to believe him. Okay? His word does not fail. His word cannot fail. His word can never fail. He said this. I believe it. And you stick to that. And praise man. You have no idea how sometimes you really have to stand, and the only thing you're left with is a word that God told you. And everything is pointing in this direction, but only the word of God is pointing you in the right direction. And you stand and believe that and say, God, I know things are tight, but I believe your word. Now, you'll be like what the scripture says about Abraham. He believed, he hoped, you know, he believed against all hope. And he spoke things that are not as though they are. So you speak out things which do not. You call yourself Abraham, which means the father of nations. And yet there is nobody in that lineage who is the father of the nations. Praise the Lord. And that's how it works. Anyway, so my point is, today I'm not going to delay. Are you ready for Holy Communion? I'd prayed for people who didn't have jobs and told them by the end of the month. Does anybody have a testimony? Who has a testimony? You have a testimony? Come forward. As you give out the Holy Communion thing, so that we...
Glory to God. So, since the day Papa started to ask people for testimonies, I was lagging behind a bit for some time. But yesterday, after having a dream, and then Papa was asking, who are the people that have testimonies? And I came at the front just like this. So, and I was dressed up like this. So today I had to come because I bless the Lord for a new season began in my life. And I had to hang on the revelation and the word that the watchman ministers. I really wanted to see what comes out of it. Because in the new season, I was panicking and everything. So starting the new season, at first, I tried to look out everywhere, like how it happens. And I was able to get like the first piece, but I ate it. You get it? Over to say my rent, to say. But I ate it because it wasn't enough to put me to that. But still, I was like, now I'm going to believe God in regards to my next level, and I'm not going back to another level. So I accepted what God was doing in my life in that season. Now, surprisingly, because I even stopped, I stopped asking anyone in that regard, in that season. And out of the blue, someone just reached out to me, and they were able to give me, like, you know, the resources that were needed for my next move in regards to settlement. So it happened that I entered in. I paid 2 months. I entered in by faith. It was a brand new house. It had everything that I needed in regards to the season. It was brand new and the location was good. So the next month, they gave me a receipt. And surprisingly, the receipt had 3 months paid. And I paid 2 months. And the person who gave me the receipt over the 3 months is the one I gave 2 months very well, and I told him. And before even that, the house was extra money, but to me it was cut low. But I was surprised that the person who very well I told that I have this, gave me a receipt over 3 months. Yes, so I bless the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Also, in that season, I was able to go on radio without paying anything. And I'm not paying anything for my radio show on Sunday. And it's surely the doctrine and the revelation that I got here.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Yes, praise God. Now, when you released the word for jobs in August, I think it was August at the beginning, my mom had applied for a promotion at her workplace. She works in a big government organization. So they were reappointing people during this time and they laid off a lot of people. So the guys who were being appointed were, of course, they are inside people. But then when she gave me her application, I got it. And I prayed over it. As I was praying over it, I remembered the declaration you said, and I used that word to pray over her promotion. And I believed it. I even got an instruction about a seed, a specific seed I had to sow. That was one day before she went for the interview. And 2 days ago, she told me that she had been appointed to the place she had applied for.
Amen.
Praise God. Last time I told you about how jobs were bombarding me in my level. But then there is one job I really wanted to do last year. And last year was seeing like it was really big. I wanted to work at Heritage International. And I used to apply, but they don't give me. So I wanted to know what's the trick to go in there. I never knew it was all about God. But then I got an opportunity. I was called to work with some autistic kids there. Then I knew obviously I fellowship here, so everything has to work out in my favor. And I think I was just being braggadocious. I'm like, okay, I just want to know your salary range. And the next day, it was not forwarded in my email. After some days, the lady called me. And she told me, you know what, the person who was going to be fired has decided not to be fired, so you're not going to work. I was like, something has gone wrong, because that's not something that can happen to me if I'm right here. I just knew something was wrong. So I continued getting other gigs, but I really wanted the other one. Then just like 3 days back, the lady sent me emails. I was not even checking my emails anymore. She even called me. I found missed calls. She told me, are you ready to work tomorrow? I was so happy. when I arrived there, I even find everything is so normal. I'm not so like excited. Last time I thought it was such a big thing to work there. And I'm believing God for bigger things. Yeah, I'm grateful that it has all aligned in my favor.
Amen. So I want to tell you something. You know, when we fast, when you said we are going to fast, something broke loose. Okay? And now you're going to see it. You're going to see it. And it's even going to affect those who even didn't fast. They are going to partake by what? By association. Okay? But something really, really broke loose, and something financial, and in regard to the, you know, your levels, you know, your financial levels and all that. So expect bigger things after that time. Now, this is what we are going to seal with this Holy Communion today. Okay? We are going to seal the new level. Are you ready for that? We are sealing the new level. And now, when we seal it, it will, remember what I said? God does not take you back. Once you go to a new level, you can only go higher after that. Okay? There is only one direction when God is concerned. It is higher and higher and higher. Praise the Lord. So now, after we've sealed this level, next time we shall be going to a higher level. Glory to God. And also, I want to tell you this before I have our Holy Communion. Okay, let's have our communion. Does everybody have the bread and the wine? Okay, let us sanctify it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we sanctify this bread and this wine for the purpose of Holy Communion, even as the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took the bread and broke it among his disciples and said that we should take it all the time as a way of remembering his sacrifice for us. And now, even as we partake of this bread and this wine, we receive of all the great promises of the scripture, everything that the Lord has promised us in the scripture, we receive of it right now. We decree that we are blessed. We decree that we profit. We decree that we are increased. We decree that we enter a new level financially. And we seal that level in the name of Jesus as we partake of this Holy Communion. Now, thank you, Father, because you receive us. And as it says, on that night, the Lord Jesus broke the bread and ate it among his disciples. And even so, we do here today. Receive of the body of Christ. And if anybody is sick, healing. Healing is manifesting here today in the name of Jesus. Bodily healing is manifesting today in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. And the same night he took the wine and drank it among his disciples and says, "This is the blood of the new covenant. The blood that seals all the promises of the new covenant." And Lord Jesus, even as we partake of this, your blood, all the promises, every promise of blessing, of health, of wealth, of uplifting, of well-being, every promise we receive of it here this day, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, take the wine. Now I speak a blessing upon each and every one of you, in the name of Jesus. May you be blessed, may you be multiplied, may you be uplifted, may you see new things in your life. May you be connected to new people who come with glad tidings. May you expand. The Lord expands your territory in the name of Jesus. Your territory expands in Jesus' name. May you expand and grow bigger and reach out to greater things in the name of Jesus. And even now be approached by big people, bigger people than you've dealt with, and who come into your life to increase you. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta, Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Washman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gaba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.